Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this day revealed to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I? Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I. Bring me my sons and daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari, in the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world, in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call to set our people free.
Set that people free.
It's a call.
Right.
voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in confrontation turn must be that we have to cool off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to the Ethiopian Rail Federation Incorporated, local number 26, and your great host, the wonderful Mercedes Gomez. At this time, we will bring our chaplain to open us up.
Give thanks, honorables. Glory to word, glory to song, bless, and glory to the present moment of our living creator. Psalms 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May you remember all your sacrifice and accept your burnt offering, Eliyahu. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord give victory to his anointed. He answer him from his heavenly sanctuary. With the victorious power of his right hand, some trust in chariot and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall. We rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. For us, power of the mighty Trinity. Glory to word, glory to song, glory to the present moment. Let the words of our mouth and meditation of our defense be humble and accepted. We, the black people of the world, in order to affect unity, solidarity, liberty, freedom, and self-determination. Secure justice to maintain the integrity of our divine heritage, to whereby establish and ordain this constitution for the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. Hail my first power of the mighty Trinity. Bless everyone. Give thanks, honorables.
And now, without further ado, our wonderful host, the wonderful Miss Sadie Gomez, put your hands together for us. At this time.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much, Dr. Wimbledon, for your very warm and pleasant introduction. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, your host for this evening. And thank you so very much, Chaplain, for your wonderful opening words of inspiration.
Thank you.
You're welcome. At this time, our wonderful Sunday evening in chat, I was hoping that we had more guests coming on shortly. But as we know, the topic this evening, do you think there was justification within the shooting on Tuesday in Columbus, Ohio, a black young lady was shot by a white cop. This young lady was wielding a knife and lunging at another young woman, possibly to damage her. In return, the cop shot her
four times. She fell to the ground, and of course, she died. And this was another case of black woman this time being gunned down by the police. But what we are seeing here, as the killing continues, what is it for the police to do in such a split moment, a split second? Was he right? Was he wrong? Police duties has become one of the most stressful jobs our country has come to see. First, we are asking for the funding of the police, which I personally think is advantageous since they need all the funds that they can get to perform at the level of expectancy that is required for in such a busy city as New York, the city that never sleeps. How could the police then sleep, you know, in order to control crime and create a safe atmosphere for the citizens? Today we examine this case of the police officer called to a scene of a knife-wielding young woman. Only intention was to damage or possibly kill another young woman her age. I say they were both teenagers. But before we get back to the scene of the crime, I want us to examine life a little bit at a time. Let us look at the neighborhood, let's say. From the video, we can see it was quite a middle class to affluent neighborhood. Houses were in good conditions. There were driveways. There was a lawn. Other people who lived there looked somewhat reasonably middle-class people. Nobody was dirty and unkept in any sort of decrepit ghetto situation. It was a more upkept neighborhood. So I would say these young women came from a certain background because, of course, at 15 years old, they most likely living with their parents. They would not be living alone since a mortgage has to be paid, and I doubt any one of them would have been working. So I'm examining, we have two young black women with such aggression when they should be sisters, want to just knife and kill each other. Why? At 15 years old, I would say, I was painting my nails, I was making up my face, I was doing my hair. I don't want to get in a fight at 15 for some girl to scramble, scratch me in my face and damage my beautiful skin. I wasn't thinking about that. At 15 years old, I was trying to follow my cousins so I could be more ladylike and more woman. At 15 years old, I was inside learning to cook. My mother wasn't having that. I had to learn to bake cakes and sweet bread and all those things, being the first girl child of my mom. So at 15 years old, I tried to remember what I was doing, what was my joy. At 15 years old, I like to dress up. So I'm not trying to have a fight so you can tear down my pretty dress. Are you crazy? At 15 years old, I'm so neat. I'm trying to walk so I don't even fall or bounce myself. So what it is in 15-year-old girls that is driving them to such aggression to kill? Because we saw the video. We all saw the video. I look at the video several times. I'm trying to wonder what else could the police have done. But now I'm asking for this wonderful audience on Sundays with all our provocative thoughts and conversation. Would the situation be different if it was a black cop handling the matter, even if the outcome was the same? This has been a very difficult call for the police. Because I look at the video and I saw the girl lunging towards the other young lady cowardly against a car. But before she even got to the young lady, she pushed someone down onto the ground, so we know there was a force she was coming with. So tragic for this event to have taken place. Deadly force would apply to stop a criminal that would have had no intention. What if the girl in the car was your daughter and this girl lunging forward to kill her? What if the police had allowed the girl to kill the other young lady and then he shoot her? There are so many what ifs. And there's so many different ways we can look at that video. I try to judge, but judgment is mine, said the Lord. He will repay. I try to examine situations where things could be fair and balanced, and I try to see how it's going to stand with this police that have shot this girl so soon after the George Floyd verdict. I also examine the fact that one celebrity I would name, Mr. LeBron James, he knows his responsibility of having such a large audience. He posted on his Instagram or one of those social media feeds that the police, he was next. It was quite inconsiderate of him, and I guess premature, because this video needs to be looked at from many angles. I try not to be racially biased. I know there's a mandate for black men and even for black women at the hands of the police, but fair is fair, and if we should judge, we should judge righteously. And I try so hard to wonder what else could have been done differently. And of course, here we are with our topic of discussion for the evening: a killing of a young black girl. Could her life have been saved? What could be done differently? And here we are at our Sunday evening of talk, wondering what would it be if it was our daughter. Here we are. I'm passing the mic to my listening audience so they can join in conversation as you observe our topic of conversation for the evening.
All right.
All
right.
So open.
All right. Thank you. What a wonderful topic. I'll say this. What could he have done? I looked at the video, and I didn't see where he did anything but shoot the girl. I don't see where he gave a warning. How come he couldn't shoot a warning shot in the air, stun the crowd, make everything stop? That's what I was thinking. How come he couldn't shoot her with the taser and knock her off balance with the taser? Why the gun? Why so fatal? So we're going to kill one person to stop the possibility of another person being killed with a knife while you are on the scene. Right? So we know your decision has just decided that somebody got to die. And so you killed, definitely, the 15-year-old girl because there was a possibility she could have killed the people out there that she was so-called launching at with this knife. I think that there are things that could be done. Then he came on and said he got no information. He showed up with a knife fight between kids. And he made the decision right then, one of them need to die. The one with the knife need to die. We don't know why she got the knife. We don't know if she's defending herself with the knife. We know there's a lot of people out there, but she got the knife. So shoot her. My personal opinion is there are things, because there was nothing done from what I saw to try to de-escalate the situation. There was never a freeze, never a stop, never anything. Just get out the car shooting. Why? Because if they're black and you can get away with it. Because I have a qualified immunity. If you got a knife, that's probable cause. I felt threatened. She's about to tip murder on the other pedestrian. Whatever. But So if you're given any reason at all, then go ahead on and take the shot, because you're gonna be good. And because for clearly she got a knife, which actually is not clear. There's a lot of people saying that knife in that video was helped put there. The mother that was there said at the time that she did have the knife in her hand. And well, whether she did or she didn't, the cop decided he would be the judge and jury and executioner. She should have shot her. She got a knife. That's enough. She got a knife. They out here arguing. I saw a swing at somebody. Kill her. I think there are a bunch of things he could have done. You know? These kids fighting. And from now, you know, the story is she, the child that called the police. That's what the story is. She called the police. And so, I mean, we're learning more and more every day. Do not call the police, because if they can shoot or kill somebody, they will. And this Derek Chavez, or however you say his name, didn't really mean anything. It didn't really do anything. The bodies are still adding up. I don't think we can show sympathy. I don't care.
Okay, but Nikki, Dr. Rambola, I just want to insist. As we watch this video, we look to see and we ask ourselves, if it was a black cop called to the scene, would the result have been different?
I don't know, and let me tell you why I don't know. Because when the black cops put on those blue uniforms, they become blue. All right?
Okay.
So they're no longer black. They take on the ideology of that blue uniform, and they see you just like the rest of the police see you, as a threat. Why? Because they've been brainwashed into believing that.
In this special case, as we see for our Sunday evening, for those who are now joining us, we are examining the case where a fatal Tuesday, a young black woman with a knife lunging towards another young sister, possibly for a fight or to damage her, to threaten her, was gunned down by the police. Here we are examining some of the facts as we open the mic for caller 646-363. As you join us, we thank you so very much for joining our conversation. We're examining this fatal shooting, whereby we are wondering if things could have been different, or what could have been different instead of the use of deadly force. And as I understand, the police are not trained to shoot at the foot. They are trained to shoot at the chest when a situation escalates itself. So I'm opening the mic for you, 646-363, as you join us in conversation.
Peace and power.
Welcome, sister.
You know, it is... the word is not just sad. We say it's sad, but it's worse than being sad. We have a lot. We have some old people, but we don't have enough elders within our community. We have old people, but not elders. When there's disputes, when there's, you know, discord and disagreement, we need to start having an alternative source of reconciliation outside of 911. This is not the first time this has happened. And
no.
The rate it's going at, it doesn't even seem as if it will be the last time it happens. Now, I think I sent you a video this week where there was a young man, white, who was in an altercation with some police officers. And
yeah,
there was a sister.
I saw where they powdered his face and gave him 2 kisses on the cheeks. I saw that.
He chest bumped with the police. Chest bumped. He cussed him out. And you could clearly hear the officer say, "Spit on me again and you will see."
Yes, he also took out the bat on him a few times. I saw that video.
Well, no, that's the other incident, because there's more than one that I sent you. There's one that I sent you where he was chest bumping with the police officer, and they walked to the car, and he walked back, and he jumped in his car, and then he jumped back out of the car. And at
yes,
no time, they did not feel threatened.
No,
and
he was not shot at any point.
Another video where the mother, or some female voice is what I should say, not the mother, because I don't preface the mother, kept saying, "Hey, stop, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Behave." And he was fighting with the police, fighting, physically fighting with the police, to the extent that he took their baton and beat them with their own baton,
yes,
jumped into the police car and drove off with it, with them standing on the side of the car. And to this moment, he was not shot. At some point in time, we have to understand that there is an unspoken code that says, kill as many blacks as you can. There's no other explanation for it.
Most definitely, I would agree with you, sis, because we have seen attacks on blacks whereby in same circumstances, the white people, we would have to clearly say, would get away with what we would say, murder. But at this time, we have examined situations, and we are wondering, I like what you said, there must be an alternative method of having to take charge of what we should say, our business. I like when you speak, because I start thinking of ancient African societies whereby we had elders, where every situation was settled within that kind of court, whereby even if a man would rape in the village or whatever he would do, steal a mango, you know, there was a court whereby situations were handled and we understood what was right and wrong among us. Now, having have outside forces with terrible intentions, we can see the further killing of our black men and women, because there's a definite attack on us. It's open season, and the black man, and as we are seeing, the black woman, none of us are safe. But we have to find some way, as we have to go back to our ancient teachings of how we once handled our business. I definitely agree with that point there with you, sis. I'll pass the mic back on.
There's a white officer who retired. I can't tell you exactly how long he's retired. And he has been advocating to end open season on black men.
Saw that video also too, sis. Very
clearly,
high-ranking police officer.
Yes,
and he did say it was something that was
these
part
quotas
of the program.
That have to be met. These quotas that have to be met. And I am, I mean, what's new? When Working Hot, which is a company that built private prisons in America, is guaranteed 80% occupancy at the end of the first year. You guarantee to make business at the end of the first year. At whose expense? How are these jails being filled? So there's a direct correlation between the building, the privatizing, and the incarceration of black and brown people to fill these buildings. At some point, we really, I mean, you know,
whether somebody else called the police officers or they themselves called the police officers, look how easy things escalate to this extent that you could call the police for help and end up dead. This is not the first time that has happened.
No, it has become a situation. Right now, you wonder if you should call the police.
You shouldn't. And you shouldn't have to. And this is what I'm saying. When are we going to say, okay, we're going to create these organizations where we have elders? Because the next thing is that we have so much lawlessness amongst our people. And when I say lawlessness amongst our people, you have some young people that don't cater to authority. They don't. As far as they're concerned, they don't have to submit to authority. And because they don't think that they have to submit to authority, they don't listen to anybody. So we have to start even getting to the point where we separate the sheep from the goat and we start eliminating what we call the bad apples. It may sound bad, but if we don't eliminate the bad apples, they're going to spoil all the good apples. If you have one cup of rotten potatoes in a sack, the whole sack is going to go bad. So we have that responsibility. Fill it for me, baby. It should take about 40. We are the ones responsible, and we are the ones who have to take that stand. Because if we don't take the stand now, then sooner or later, we will end up where we don't have any complete. Okay. We will end up, thank you. We will end up where we have no recourse. I mean, when I say that the possibility of getting justice in America is slim to none, some people, you know, laugh at me. Some people, when I say we need to exodus out of here, some people are not taking this seriously because they think that, you know, this is where they were born, and people give you a lot of reasons. But reasons or no reasons, the truth is that we got to get out. We could either break in resistance or we could bend and defeat the system. I mean, the Chinese are leaving China and pulling up Africa. I looked at a documentary recently where the Chinese man said, everybody think Africa is so hot, but it's not that hot. It's good. Imagine he's a Chinese man saying that. And here
What has happened, therefore, they do not have any more room in their country to even have one more baby. So they have gone to a place where they see all this land. They're not studying how to call. They're studying for the first time they can have a house and walk around it because they have some land. And that's mainly why they're running over there. There's no more land in China, per se, for their population.
Precisely. And I'm saying we, the ones who have assets, liquidate your damn ass and get the hell out of this place and start building a village and creating a community where you can have some semblance of peace in this lifetime.
Sooner or later, we would have that second exodus will be made, and what you're saying, because for those of us who are eyes wide open and are seeing things a certain way, we have to understand our time would come where a decision has to be made as to what the future brings. And what you're saying, this is not that, you know, conversation that we shouldn't have. It may be a little premature, but definitely it's on the right train of thought. But here we are, this Sunday evening, as we continue with what we are talking about, as we see our keyboard is lit up again with another guest joining us, a very familiar one that is. Caller 914-363. I'll open your mic, just that you know you're joining in conversation concerning the shooting of a teenage black lady that was lunging forward at another sister, was shot by the police 4 times, lay on the ground. The question is, do you think this was justified? What could have been done different? Or what would the outcome have been should it have been a black cop? If it was the same, would we have, how would we have felt? There's so much decisions deadly force again was applied. But how do we see this young lady? Was she a criminal? Do we see her as our daughter, our sister? Or do we see her as one looking to kill another one? So what are your thoughts? Caller 914-363, your mic is open.
Well, you know, it's just imperative that we understand white people do the same thing and they go home. They do worse. And they get handcuffed and go to justice, go to jail, go see a judge in the morning and get due process. We got to really look at this training of police departments, because the according to the manual, the police manual, the last thing is deadly force. They have several things. They have rubber bullets. They have tasers. They have several other types of equipment. They got robotic dog that can walk up to people and nothing happens to him because nothing but a piece of steel. So I'm just the off balance. I've seen a white man last month bust the cop in the head with a hammer, and all other cops ran up. None of them shot him. They grabbed the hammer and they got him off the cop, head busted. And they took the man to jail. I saw a guy, a white guy, beat the woman cop and beat the man cop and walk over to their police car, got in there and drove home. Extremely drunk, totally out of his mind on opioids and opioids and vodka. Totally out of his mind, crazy. But he gets to go home. He gets to see a judge. He gets to do due process. So when these cops talk about, oh, it was a second, a minute, I had to think about it, you know, I didn't know, blah, 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 blah. And they kill black people all the time. They kill you whether you're innocent. They kill you whether you're guilty. They kill you. They, you know, it's unfortunate that things happen. It's unfortunate that people get angry. It's unfortunate that people attack each other. That's normal. You know, a guy was telling me some black guy get on the television, this nut called himself the Officer Tatum.com. Go look at his nut, what he's saying. He's like, black people are 13% of the population and they commit 60% of the crime. Nut, do the math. What school did you go to? It's impossible. Nevertheless, 44% of the crimes are committed by white people in America. 22% of the crimes committed by people of color. That's all of us, okay? Now, 90% of the people that get arrested and go to jail are people of color. So tell me, 5% of the people that go to jail, 5%, only 5% of white people go to jail. So ask me, where they're committing so many crimes, where's the other 95%? They're walking up and down the street. They're the people that walk into the supermarket and blow everybody's brain out because they're having a bad day. Or they walk into a spa and kill every woman because they have a sexual confusion. Okay? They're the ones walking to the church and say, let's pray, and kill 9 people. They're the ones that go into little schools, to second graders and third graders, and blow their brains out. Why? Because they're given the provision. We're not the problem. We're not the problem. The society, the media, okay, working together with the propaganda, with the leftist, right, conservative wing, racist, white supremacists, KKK, Nazis, systemic racism, it always made us look like we were the problem. Because that's how they invented the idea that we should be slaves because we're dehumanizing. We're not fit for any human capacity. We're like animals. The Constitution still says the three-fifth rule. They didn't change that. If they thought something of us, they would have changed that, correct? But they did not, because they don't think of anything of us, and we don't understand how to ask the right questions. My thing is this. You got to stop killing the lower percentage of people who commit the lower percentage of the crimes. You got to stop creating criminality. See, the whole thing is to criminalize the black man and black woman, to make you look like you're a criminal. They take small things, and that's why all black people, when somebody do something, oh my God, I hope it's not a black person. But white people don't care. Irish man don't care if another Irish man killed a whole bunch of people. Rittenhouse, that killed all those people out there, that they let him go home. Who ever heard of that? A mass murderer on television, on video camera. And he's home. Okay, they took him out to McDonald's. Get what number you want. Go out and kill some more niggas. All right? So we got to see the situation for what it really is. We got to see that, yes, people are weak. Yes, people are mad. Yes, people have mental conditions and psychotic behavior. Yes, they all have it. White, black, Spanish, tall, skinny, fat, rich, poor. Everybody has a dysfunctionality in America. There's always a mental health problem here. But there's nobody taking care of it. The guy that walked up and killed that Chinese lady in New York, okay, he killed his mother. He only spent 17 years in jail. He had no supervision. He's mentally ill. He's criminally mentally ill. Okay? He's criminally insane. All right? He should have not been out. All right? The no bail system that they put up, it was for nonviolent people that had minor crimes that subsequently they could pay restitution and they could not lose their job, their homes, their families, their cars, and get into a financial difficulty. So they came up with no bail because a lot of poor black people, Hispanic people, people of color were going to jail, spending months in jail because they didn't have the money to pay the bail. Then they lose everything. So that was the purpose of no bail. These idiots let everybody out. Every freaking crazy person, every criminal. That judges supposed to be able to make the assessment of who's a person that needs to be retained and who's a person that should go. Okay, the people they're letting out, they're not supervising them, they're not checking their mental condition, and they're not really doing their fiduciary responsibility as they adjudicate the law. They're not doing none of that. But that's a part of their reasoning to make black people look like criminals, like we the bad people, like we should be in jail, we should get no bail. Everybody, they draw it with a full brush. But when you do something like that, like the Bible says, when you dig one ditch because you're sneaking to try to make somebody fall into it, or you want to push them into it, or you want them to get dead, so you dig that ditch for them, he said, dig another ditch because you're going to fall in the next one. America been digging ditches for a long, long time, 400 years of digging ditches for the black man to fall in, to create a criminality, listen, white people get all of the privileges and offers that they can give them. They get all these opioids and methamphetamines and all the stuff they take, all the alcoholism that they do, all the drugs they do, all the killings they do, the rapings of children. Okay, look at the Catholic Church. Rape more children than Phantom killed Ethiopian children back in the Phantom days. Look at it. But they continue to be free. They continue to not to be dehumanized or criminalized. You can't have a double standard. That's why the conditions the way they are. And that's why they're driving everybody. They driving people to this madness. The conditions they put you under, it could drive you crazy. I don't know the circumstance behind that girl and what she was doing and what was happening, but I know that if she was white, She would have went home to, I mean, she would have went to the police car and got locked up. And so the judge in the morning, and I know when she's white, she got released. That's what I look at. I look at the misjustice. I look at the manipulation of people's mind. I look at the discrimination. The numbers are off balance in terms of the behavior. I look at how one is treated. I look at the years of abuse. I look at the sneakiness, the undercoverness. You say ice cream when it's really poison. I look at the fact of the matter is you have 400 years of a strategic plan to destroy, kill, and maim black people. And I look at the fact of the matter is, yeah, they want you to leave. They want you to leave, but they want you to leave with nothing. They want you to go back. They want you to go back to Africa with $2 in your pocket and a hope and a dream. It ain't happening. We should get what belongs to us from this country. And when we get them billions or whatever it is, then we leave so we can build a better society and a better conditions in Africa, because Africa is being raped, you know, every doggone second of the day. The Chinese, the Germans, the Russians, okay, the Belgians, you think of it, they're over there, okay, Taiwanese, Viennese, you know, they're there. So if you can't go there, if you go to Africa with your $10,000, $10,000 USD, and think that you're going to buy a house and buy a little roadside shop to sell coconuts, that ain't going to work, because the Germans, the Chinese, the Russians, the Belgium, Lithuanians, Dutch, Scottish, they're going in there with hundreds of millions of dollars. You won't compete. Right now, the competitiveness in Ethiopia is because the Chinese are going there with billions and millions, and the black people can't compete. It's not enough to say I'm African. I got a heritage. I've been given land. That's not enough. You got to go with economic stability. You got to go there with a tremendous change. But this is a part of the demise to keep people down. We don't understand the strategic planning. First of all, study and understand your opponent. Every sports, every boxer, every football player, every basketball player, baseball player, every swimmer, okay, everybody that's in competitive sports, they study the greatest guy that ever lived in, the greatest guy that's stronger in that sport. They study his move. They study what he do. We're not studying and understanding our opponent. We have an enemy. Black people have a common enemy. And this white man has no plan, whether they're liberal, left, right, up, back, left-winged, right-winged, or no-winged. These white people have no intentions of having black people be the leader of nothing. And people think, oh, yeah, I can go back to my country. Yeah, go back to your country. Who you think controlling every country right now? Why you think they're moving to the Caribbean? Why you think they're moving to Africa? When the hell black people going to go after they don't infiltrate it and took over all these places? You understand? It's a strategic plan, but we have no plan. Black people, only plan black people got is to yell, scream, a pilgrimage, beg, sing, try to do Kumbaya, my Lord, with the white people. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You got to be able to stand on your own two feet. Your competitiveness is your ability to sustain yourself without having someone else take everything away from you. If you say boo, the most richest black people right now, generally most of them, most millionaires, the only person I know that's independent and can say anything he wants to say is a man called Eddie Brown and Sheila Johnson, who are part of the 1%ers. They are almost trillionaires. They got businesses all over. They can do what they want to do, say what they want to say. They got freedom. But there's very few other black people like them that got that level of freedom. There are black people out here got billions of dollars, but they know if they go against the grain, they will cut their money trail. They'll close off their money trail. They'll cancel it. So people are controlled, and people have a limited amount of things that they could say and do. Okay, but you can't not fight $100 with a penny. It ain't going to work because there is no justice. That the fact that you are a human being and you God gave you the innate right. See, the first rights that we have is innate rights. Forget about what the Constitution said. Forget about the laws said. Forget about what governments say. The first right of a man and a woman who created in this earth is the right that God has given unto us. And God said, you follow me. You do what I say. Go ye and possess the land. He didn't say go beg the man for the land. Find out what the man can do. Get a co-signer. Get a loan. He said, go take the land. But there's a position how you do it. Everything within this position. You got to get yourself. And I'm not, money's not everything. See, in America, one thing I learned, because I've had all of that, had the money, had the degrees, did all that stuff, but I'm still just a high class, overpaid nigga. Okay, it didn't change. My economics changed, my address changed. My bank account changed, my pocket changed, my clothes changed, my people I hang out with changed, everything else changed, my academic background changed, you know, all that stuff changed. But my social conditioning in America did not change. How the American government perceived me did not change. How the government played with my life and my children's life and my family's life, and with the position did not change. I looked it better. I had more money. I had prestige. I was called different places to do certain things, to say certain things. But in terms of the social condition, in terms of how they really perceive me, they tell me one thing. They tell me I'm a great guy. I did great things. I'm an enigma. I'm unusual. I'm not like the rest. Throwing all that in my head. But my social condition never changed, and that's the problem. The social condition don't change until you change it. Get you some money, get you some education, but make sure that you fight for social conditioning changes. Biden, very quickly, Biden just filed genocide for the killings of Armenian people. The numbers of Armenian people that's being killed is subsequently the same amount of numbers of black people being killed right here in America. I does say, we should file a genocide, not with the American government. Put them on. Get a affidavit. Get a subpoena. Put them on notice, but go to the world court and file a case. File a case at the world court. Go to UN and tell UN that 2016 report needs to be implemented, and because we're dying every damn day. You'd be surprised at the number of black women dying. Guess how many people you don't know about? All these centralized, all these newspapers and these television news, they put that stuff on for excitement and create centralization and get people to look at their thing and create all these listeners and readers on their papers and their radio shows and their news radio and their television. It pumps up their ratings. It gets them more listeners. It makes them more money. Ching, 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 ching. But guess how many people that you do not know that get killed every damn day? Black men and women and children. Even the babies now getting killed. Guess how many you don't know? 45 to 60% is non-televised. So what we see on television over these years, that's a drop in the bucket to what the seriousness of this matter. But we don't know this. Black people think it's all about the names that you see on television, you know, and I feel bad for everybody that get killed and be, you know, go on television. I feel bad for them as well. But the picture is bigger than that. That's not the whole picture. And that's not, and those few that we, even this Chauvin case, that's not nothing compared to all the cops right now after that verdict start killing people. Look at it. They started killing people at a wimp. Look how many people got killed since the Derek Chauvin verdict. So that's not, trust me, we got a long, 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 long way to go. And it's unfortunate. The unfortunate thing, people, there's no way to hide. There's no way to hide. I know a lot of people say go to Africa, go to the Dakota Caribbean, go here, go there. There's no way to hide. Black people got circumstances everywhere you go in this world. Until we have to face up to this bully, and we have to fight him. That's the only thing we can do. Thank you.
Well, so very thankful for your words, Dr. Robinson. Always happy to hear your input in conversation. It has been indeed an open season on the black race. We now see how our women are being affected as well, because a 15-year-old having a knife fight didn't have to escalate whereby one child would have been killed. But we are seeing here a need for elders, a need for input into these young children's lives. And you know what the sister just said, Sister Olabisi, she mentioned it earlier on, that we should try to devise some method whereby we are teaching our young. Well, for me, I am taking personal as young women with no leadership, no guidance as to what they could be doing at 15 years as well. So here we are this Sunday evening. We would like to bring our
just
next caller.
Just a word of remembrance. When did they start taking out the ability for parents to chastise and discipline their children? Think about how long that was, that law came out of child abuse. The term child abuse came out, and now parents can't discipline or beat their kids. Think about
it. Dr. Robinson, let me just give you one little tiny secret. In a certain community, we have nothing where parents is not beating children. In a certain community, if a child will disrespect, they will get a whack and they are not calling the police. I'm just telling you quite clearly. So we can still take matters in our own hand and bring up our children. Because I'm telling you one time, I have a few little cousins across here will get a slap if they join in an adult conversation. And they dare not call the police. Call the police if they sleep outside and they're living in America. So we still have to grab our children and bring that fear of parenting into our children's lives once more. West Indian parents are still whacking their children and they dare not call the police. I'm telling you right now it is happening. And a few West Indian parents would not admit it, but I know very well my cousins, they dare not step out of line. They are being brought up as in West Indian parents. They will get a slap and they dare not call the police because they will be sleeping outside. So I know very well there are few children who still have the fear of parents, and parenting is serious business. We have to almost police our children once more, because they are fear where parents right now, children dare not do certain things. And I'm telling you, this is a fact. Not all children telling you, I'll call the police. Oh yeah, they come from the Caribbean and they know very well it's an American way. They learn in school, I'll call the police on my parents. But us parents, we have to still grab that bull by the horn and still bring the fear into our children. But as we open my mic for a call,
everyone said very quickly, the teachers will call on you as well. They call themselves first responders, or whatever they call themselves. And they will call, you know, other people outside, other agencies will call as well if they think your child's been abused or the child crying and go to school.
Well, we can discipline our children without having them have marks on them. We can still have the fear of parenting within our children. It's not impossible. It is a tough rule in America whereby the police steps in and the parents have to step out. But that don't always have to be the case. Because we are seeing whereby with the police intervention, we can lose a child. It has not happened. This is not the first time this has happened. It has happened before. And it's going to happen again. But we are asking, what could we do in such a case? But let me open the mic of 718-350 so he can join the conversation as well.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome.
Ronald A. Robinson, how are you? You know, it's something, you know, we keep on using these words. What is happening, that the people are being murdered? Okay, and I believe it's the numbers are 800 and change since George Floyd. The numbers have stepped up. It seems like as we're going through this, the numbers have stepped up like as if they've got very angry about what we're doing and the power that we're delivering. Yeah, they're just killing their kids because they don't care. We have a system here that just does not care and never cared. And like you said, my sister, we have... The parenting has been taken out of the household and left to the institution, the prison industrial complex. You know, so, you know, when my nephew one day could call me, because I was going to chastise him, he ran around the corner and called the police on me. And when the police came, it happened to be...
You're calling me around the surroundings. Is there feedback on you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what they did was call the police on me, and fortunately, his uncle, his other uncle, was sergeant of the area, and he came, and he said, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, take him to jail. So he put handcuffs on him, rode him around the block a couple of times, you know, and stuff, and talked to him. And we tried to, smart children, tried to keep him on the right path. And he wound up in jail for 37 years for doing something else. We always get overcharged and more time than anybody else that we have. But, yes, it has to start at home. It has to be instilled through the church, because the church is our main, really has been our main hope and of organization and so on. But people don't believe in God anymore. They don't have the fear of God or the fear of the parents. Parents fear the children. You know, so how do
The last days where we were told that we expect such a behavior, but what I would like to instill and really for us to understand, not the whole world has not gone crazy and has not been all the children that we are all the parents. We are seeing a rise of disorderly behavior, and we are seeing we are going to take back our children, take back our society and bring it and run it in a certain way that we can have a control. Because there was a case, of course, where children will report their parents and all of these sort of things. That's known. But yet still, what we are seeing, if we just let go and leave it to the hands of our police, our children are now the victims. So we have to have a different way of approach when we are having difficult situations. How do we handle them?
Yeah, it's
we have to set up. We have to set up some way.
Yeah, the community, the fall and the collapse of our communities, you know, is an issue. You know, we have people living on the same block that don't talk to each other. You know, my family has been living where they're living for the past 60 years. We know all our neighbors. All the kids play together. You know, now we have other people coming on the block. They don't talk to each other. You know, if I'm calling somebody and say, oh, you know, somebody's walking on your lawn and going, well, mind your business. You know, people don't react until something happens to them. We have a block association, 42 houses. Half the people on the block don't come to block association meeting, more than that, until something happens to them. And now they get out. We have to bring the community together block by block, and introduce every neighbor to a neighbor, become a neighbor, and take consideration of one neighbor to another, you know, and look out for each other, you know, and communicate, you know. I have new people that live next door to me, and they don't, you know. We're probably the oldest family on this block, one of three of the oldest family on this block. And I walk down the block every day and I see people I don't know. I say, good morning, I introduce myself, because sometimes I'm not around. My sister's here. You know, but my neighbor next door, I can walk out the house and say good morning. She says nothing. You know, the children don't even play together anymore. You know? We have to create that, you know. We have to really create that. Sorry for taking so much time, but
all right, no problem. I want to bring this caller to join our conversation. Caller 718-538. Your mic is open. You can join our conversation.
Praise the Lord, Sadie. How you doing?
Good, wonderful.
Evangelist Sergio Clark. Now, what was the topic again? I didn't get to hear the topic.
The topic of conversation for this evening, we examine the killing and the deadly shooting of the young teenage black girl who was confronted as she lunged towards another young lady, possibly to hurt her with a knife. The police was called in, and he killed the young lady. 4 bullets, she dropped down. Could it have been a different case?
First of all, the police need to be more accountable. So there's a lot of things that need to happen throughout the country, because for the longest time, the police have been going, you got good cops and you got bad cops. And then you got cops that shouldn't be cops. And if an individual has a knife, and in that particular case she did, and you shoot her in the leg, not as many shots as this officer shot. I mean, it's ridiculous. It was like she had an assault weapon. So I think he definitely should face charges. Possibly, I may not say go to jail per se, but it was too much use of force. I mean, all those shots was ridiculous. There's no need for that. You know, could have used a stun gun or, in the case, he came there and was surprised. But, okay, so she has a knife and she's trying to stab somebody, and that's what was going on. They were all fighting. But shoot her in the leg. So that was out of control.
No, my brother, I thought about the same shoot in the leg. But what I understand from listening to the conversation with the police, they are not trained to shoot in the leg. So they are really trained to shoot in the wider area of the chest.
That's not true. I'm an ex-police officer myself. That's not true at all. Okay.
If they're not trained to shoot in the leg, they ought to be.
Stop the perpetrator. Okay, there's no need to be shooting all bullets.
Okay.
No. First of all, she had a knife, okay?
I'll open the mic.
Somebody's making noise on the stage. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Taser, and rubber bullets.
Exactly. Depending on the call and knowing exactly what transpired, it should have had a taser. Okay, he decided to use a gun and shoot. I saw the whole thing, all right, about 5-6 different times. I mean, the amount of shots that he fired was overboard. Okay, so that's got to stop. Another thing, police officers throughout the country have to be accountable for their actions, just like Chauvin. I watched all of this scenario. Okay, those officers that were there when Chauvin had his knee in Floyd's back and then had his knee in his throat. I mean, come on. Excuse me. Okay, they saw what was going on. They should say, look, man, lay off him, and the man can't breathe. They didn't do that. So they are going to be responsible also, and possibly, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, some of them are in jail already. All right? But what we have to do, we got to say, and Biden, I think he's working towards that, is that any officer that goes beyond the point of his training, okay, and does this will be held responsible. They need to do more psychological tests of these officers, because I've never seen a time like this. And the other thing, too, is that what's going on now, everybody's in a state of confusion. You have cops shooting black people, shooting Hispanic people, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and even here in New York, they had an officer just recently did some crazy stuff. Same thing that the officer that used his force on Floyd is going on. So we need a whole new restructuring of the system that I believe in police reform, not to get rid of police, but retrain them in respecting the community that they are working in, because, no, this is out of control. And then the other thing I'm going to say is that what's been going on is outrageous. I mean, we got brothers killing brothers. And out in Brooklyn, you know, our good friend, Eric Adams, who is the borough president of Brooklyn, what are you doing to try to stop these things from happening in Brooklyn? Brooklyn has become the worst borough. Every day somebody's getting shot. It must have been about 50 or 60 people getting shot. So, folks, we need complete restriction. We have to have more respect for one another, respect for the parents, because it's being lost. You know,
they got large killings, too, in the Bronx. I think they necked the
no,
neck.
No, not as many as in Brooklyn.
They do. Check the statistics.
Overboard.
No.
Let me just say, my friend.
Who's killing the most?
Can you just please?
Listen, who's killing the most?
Can you
it's
just
not
listen?
Our issue. Our
oh,
issue
Lord.
Is we got to come together and confront this as a unit, as a group of black people, and,
exactly.
and let those kids know whether they're in the Bronx, whether
not
they're
just
in
black.
Brooklyn,
Phoenix,
in Washington.
Blacks and Hispanics.
Blacks and Hispanics. That listen, mm-hmm. we at war and we're not at war with each other. We should not
mm-hmm.
be shooting each other because we are not each other's enemy. We are all in the same boat, struggling, scrapping, trying to get what scraps. While those
there
that are running things is looking back and predicting when the next murder is going to be. We have
let
to
let me just say this
and realize where they put us in. And come together and change it ourselves.
Listen, what we need is what I had back in the day when I was the chief of the Community Service Protection. We had our own patrol units, and Robinson knows because I investigated the shooting of Garner up there
well,
in university.
What do we
let me just
again?
Say this. The guy that got shot, the boy that got shot, he's 18 years old. My friend that sings with me, Dell, it was right in his house, all right? He was upstairs, and he said he heard the shots. But the individual that got shot, he was, I don't know where these boys are getting these guns from. He was just shooting out the window. So he was sitting on the doorsteps, and they came, and they shot him, okay? What happened, we have to get these guns off the street. I've never seen as many guns as I saw myself, okay? I live in the Bronx, Webster, and over here we have
I almost got shot because
when I came outside, if it wasn't the grace of God that I pray every day like I do, I went towards the van. I said, let me cross over there by the van. Sure enough, as I was crossing the van, boom, here's these two boys. Pow, 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 pow. I could have got shot. So
yeah, because you know
we
what?
Need
What's happening
is
here?
We need, first of all, listen, I'm in New York. We need a mayor, a real mayor, that's going to change the system in the police department where police go back on doing patrol duty, and they're going to be responsible for anything that they do wrong as far as shooting somebody and so on. We need, and this is very, very serious because right now New York, what's going on in Brooklyn, and then Adam's talking about he's running for mayor. Mayor for what? You ain't doing nothing to combat the situation in Brooklyn.
Listen,
I mean, so many people got shot in Brooklyn. You can't even come outside.
We got to understand where that's coming from.
Come on,
bam,
you don't know if your mother's going to get shot. If you're going to get shot, it's time for change.
We got to understand how guns and drugs get into the community. Black people ain't got no manufacturing of gloves. Guns. Black people
no,
ain't got
coming
no
from North Carolina. They're coming from...
Hold a minute. Don't,
this is where guns are very easy to get. Bring them in.
When you check out the buyers of guns, when you go to gun shows, you go to private shows in South Carolina, Alabama, wherever you go, white people are buying the guns. They have the equipment to buy as many as they want. They have the licenses and all this stuff. And they get out into the parking lot. I seen it with my eyes in Virginia. They go out to the parking lot in these gun shows, and they privately sell guns out of their cars. Okay.
Okay. So you know what needs to be done?
Hold a minute. Let me
start cracking down on these things.
Let me explain this. There's no cops coming up to their car saying, no, sir, you illegally selling guns. They sell high-end rifles. They sell
well,
the AK-45.
All that's about to change, okay?
It's
Biden,
not about to change.
Biden mentioned
design.
It. Listen, first of all, we have to come
together.
Out and vote like never before, okay? Vote for our
the
lives.
Man, the system is fraudulent. It's set up.
Yeah,
but
just listen,
what's
the system
going
is,
on.
But it's
they,
about
the
to change, okay? Listen, one thing I do believe in
that
is hope.
Kill each other.
When I
read
that song, there is hope.
And make money.
There is hope, okay? We got to start just thinking negative, okay?
Yeah. Once
we got to find
out with a plan,
going on right
like
now. The only way we're going to destroy
said,
it is that we got to unite together, okay?
Yes.
And make that change.
I agree with you.
Start community service protections in every area, in the Bronx, in Queens, in South Carolina, in North Carolina, because it's time for a change.
If we all come together, people that are community-minded, like Ronald A. Robinson said, people that are community-minded people. We don't have the community we used to have when I was growing up in Harlem. We don't have the communities that we used to have in Queens, Brooklyn, Long Island, Staten Island. We don't have those communities no more. Everybody's hiding out because the bad people just took over. But if we come together, the good people come together and see how strategically these things are done. Drugs come in the community not through the hands of black people, but original when the original coming in there, it's through the hands of the white people who control it.
Not the white people, my friend. You got the Colombians, you got the Ecuadorians. Okay, drugs are coming in. Robinson, drugs are coming from Mexico.
They're
coming all over the place, and that's just the white man.
Third party. You don't even understand.
Mexicans selling drugs. You got Colombians selling drugs.
That's a third party, man. Who put them in the position? Who do you think controlled it from a big corporation?
When you leave borders unprotected, okay, and just let these people come in with their guns or whatnot, this is what happens.
Listen, you think guns are coming in America and the people that control the guns and the gangs and all that don't know what's going on? It's a setup. They got a three-piece suit.
The bottom line is brothers killing brothers, okay?
Designer suit. Don't
worry about the one-man killing someone. We're killing ourselves.
And they driving a Lamborghini. You don't know how these things are controlled from a distance, man. We have to understand this stuff is strategic.
Robinson, I've done a patrol thing with some people, and I actually have seen.
That's small to the comparison of the people.
I'm selling guns to young people, okay?
It's bigger. Listen, let me tell you something. It's bigger when you get down to the nitty-gritty up and you start to research it. One thing an old Jewish man told me, he said, you want to know any problem? He said, follow the money. When you follow that money to the original people who bring the guns into this country, the drugs, the alcoholism, the opioids, the methamphetamines, when you really trace that money, the real money, I'm talking about the little pennies on the street. What these guys make on the street corners, what the drug cartels in Mexico make, the people that's really behind
tell me, what's the answer?
They make some crazy. The answer is, people of goodwill got to come together and strategically plan to out some of this crap to stop the guns
exactly.
To stop the drugs from getting in the community. But we don't
exactly.
have a plan. The problem is we don't have no plan. We the good people, the good black people, the good Spanish people, the good people, minority people, we don't have a strategic plan to overcome the circumstances of the people who have a strategic plan to destroy us. Because we all think when they talk about kumbaya, my lord, and let's get together, and the government talk about democracy and apple pie and Chevrolet and America's the greatest thing since water, they don't understand what's really going on. People are blinded. People are truly, that like they say, it's only a few brothers and sisters that are woke and conscious, that really know what's going on, because everybody else is buying into the bull crap. As soon as somebody say, oh, I like you, you're my friend, people buy, listen, they smile in your face.
They're a bunch of backstabbers.
One thing a white man could do that a black man can't do, a white man can laugh for hours and hours and hours, and you could say anything you want to him, and he'll laugh in your face for hours
and
hours.
Okay, let me just say
and
this, Robinson.
He could be a phony.
What we have to do now in our communities, all right, is start programs like I had. Community Service Protection was a patrol unit. That you remember the guy that was burning down the buildings that I caught? All right, and we're going back 30 years ago. Now, J.B. LaPuppet is going to be working with me, all right, a patrol unit, okay, and we're doing a whole lot of new things, powerful things to stop what's going on. First of all, we have the senior citizens and everybody have to come together and say we're not going to tolerate this no more, so we got to take control of our communities. And by taking control of the communities and also now having the police on patrol, because the police department, especially in New York, they come after somebody got shot, after somebody got stabbed. It's time for a change. It's time for them to go back out there in the street and patrol and protect the community the way they're supposed to protect it as well.
Why, as our leaders,
community service protection, whereby we start patrolling our buildings. I got that going on right now, Reverend Robinson, right now. I got it going
something.
On because
why
one,
do you think,
I went out there. Building and almost got shot out there.
Yeah, okay. Let me tell you this. Okay, you said that. Let me say this to you. Why do you think black people have the highest rate of firing and the lowest rate of hiring? Why do you think
all that's
going to
change?
We just
can't keep on complaining about it. We got to make a change.
If you don't understand the length of the problem. If you think the problem is only 2 inches, when the problem is a whole damn yard, you can't, and you just do
Robinson,
that one inch.
We have more black entrepreneurs than ever before, and especially in Brooklyn, where they're shooting people all the time. I know
Brooklyn,
a lot of people that started new businesses
Brooklyn,
and so on. We got to start being independent. Forget about being hired by the white man. We start entrepreneurs and hire our own people.
That's the answer. We don't need the white man per se.
Oh, yes, you can. As interesting and possible as all this sounds, my question is, would the police, because you're saying that we should have the police there monitoring, we are already very highly monitored. We are the highest monitored in the whole of America, no matter which state you go in. The black neighborhoods are the ones that are most monitored. And when we say that we should bring in more police to monitor, remember most...
The monitor doesn't work. Okay, I know by monitor because I used to put the cameras that they have in the streets and all of that. And a lot of these things can be seen through satellite when people are shooting the whole nine. But ever since they took the police off of patrolling the community, everything went under. Because even here in the projects and so on, they took that money where the officers used to protect the developments and whatnot. And now... And Giuliani started this mess by putting everybody together and taking away protection from the black communities and so on. But that has to change. That's why I say that who becomes mayor is going to be very important. What he believes in, what his standards are, and we need somebody that's got a proven track record that's going to not only just help the community as far as the crime situation, but also people that's living in low housing communities and so on, because they try to privatize the development, the projects or whatever. They try to privatize that. So we got to be very careful right now. And what I'm doing now in the community, I got a lot of leaders, and we're standing up together, and we're going to start protecting the community properly, as well as the schools. Over here in PS 55, millions of dollars, that's the school I went to, has been spent. We have a state-of-the-art studio now that these young people could go in and, you know, develop their arts and so on. And that's what's needed in the black community, because don't forget, a lot of programs were cut, and a lot of young people.
Thank you.
Right?
Because when you are saying that what you are, the mentality we have, the approach we have, is where the problem is. Our problem is not insufficient police or insufficient police presence in our community. That's not the problem we have. The problem we have is lack of resources and young men and women competing for the limited resources that are available. And until we address that,
we're addressing it right now.
Because,
but
hold on, thank God, Biden, because we had Trump.
Hold on, even before we have Trump, because
I am saying to you is this. When we are saying we need more police to come and walk around, we need more police to protect us, when these same police have a track record of killing us, it's inviting a slaughter.
Well, let me just say this. I know a lot of police officers, you got good and bad. And we got to weed out the bad. But what I'm saying to you is this. It's not so much we need more police. It's that we have 33,000 police, but they're not protecting the community. They come after the fact.
But this is what I'm saying.
So all we need to do
is
get back out there on patrol.
We are looking for police.
That's a good job.
And
the police department, stop the police department from doing this and doing that, and it's not helping nothing. We need the police back on patrol, watching what's going on and doing their jobs the way they're supposed to do it.
But that's
okay?
not
and
what
good
we
police
need.
Have to monitor
we have enough
the
police.
We
have thousands of police
officers.
We need the bad
is
police.
To create,
there's no such thing as a good police.
Because all these so-called, quote-unquote, bad apples that we have, these bad apples are pretty much just kids with a lot of, if you go into a classroom and you see these kids that walk up and down the hallway, it's not that they have ADHD. It's not that they have attention deficit. Most of the time, these kids are so smart
that's sitting there, it creates boredom. And what we need to do is positively challenge them. And it's the same thing when we want to see a change in our community. Where are the resources that they can tap into? One,
amen,
to become financially financially useful.
You have a new chancellor in charge of the schools now, and she's back. Okay, she's very good. She knows what she's doing. We have Congressman Torres. Okay, so we're starting to put the right people in place. Okay,
but
to make
this
change.
But
like
this
right
is
here,
what you need to put in place.
Listen,
before you start
putting
police,
okay? Millions of dollars.
When you start putting more police, when you start putting more police in our already over-monetized neighborhood.
How can you say that? You don't even see the police, really. You see the police, the only time the police come is after somebody done got shot, after somebody got robbed, okay? They're supposed to be on patrol. All they do, and listen, I've been observing this with some individuals that I'm working with, and we see it. All they do, they're in the van, they just go right through. Okay, they don't get one van.
These things will always happen. These things will always happen. There's no way for you to put a bandage before you get cut, and this is what you're attempting to do. What I'm saying is put on the right gear, and in this situation, the right gear for our young black and brown people is sufficient resources, places that they can feel safe, not these seven homosexuals that we're putting in our damn school and in every program that you have.
Watch
our
young
men
lady
going into. And at the end of the day, by the time you look around, most of them have been effeminized. That's safety haven. Safety haven. And not just the, places for them to go
back, the music program back again that they took out,
and play basketball and play
cut funding for a lot of programs. Okay, that in the past was helping the young people. Okay, so
lucrative income for our young people, because most of them would want to work. Most of them would want to have some financial income. But when you have these situations.
What about the leadership academies? You don't think the leadership academies
is not set up for
discipline,
not set
young people
up
that went to leadership academies? Yes, they
did.
A lot of young people
are
coming from the leadership academy.
The leadership
that's a private sector.
Public school.
Okay? They're doing
the
better than the public school children. That's why we have to do a complete restructuring of the school system.
You can do all you want. If the system is not set up for the positive results in the black community, then that's
not
going
to work.
Jamie, you keep on thinking negative, you never get anything controlled. It's like,
about thinking negative.
What are we
going
to do to make that change?
What
are we going to do to make that change? Are you going to vote for the right person to mayor? Are you going to make sure the right person becomes Congress? Like, we got Richard Dorrance that's millions of dollars for us for school and everything. We need the right people in office, okay?
You can't depend on the system. You can't depend on it.
Robinson. Okay, Richie Torres, okay, we gave out food, we gave out bags to the children, everything also. And the police department joined in with us and donated a whole bunch of money and
gave them
bags, computers. We need a change. We need to start thinking positive.
That's a negative effect on the community. The community need economic development. They need opportunities to get careers.
They're getting it,
though.
Negativity is not going to do anything for anybody.
No, they need economic stability, man. They need an economy that's going to
Listen, Biden came up. In fact, a lot of these businesses, and I know a lot of businesses in Brooklyn, okay, they almost lost their business because of this coronavirus situation, okay? And they're giving them monies now so that they could survive.
Band-aid.
But I think that Biden and Harris are doing the right thing right now.
Brother,
and need the right
system,
leadership. And we get the right leadership.
There's a system to demise you to keep you.
I don't hear about this. I've been hearing that.
Begging them so
for
they can
the longest.
You.
What is
listen,
the answer?
They,
we can talk about there's a system here.
Let me explain.
What are we doing to make that change?
I wish God everybody in New York City would vote for Ray McGuire, because Ray have been able to
What has he accomplished?
He's read his story, man.
I mean, he was on the school system now.
Ray have took many of black people and got them into independent ownership of businesses. He's gotten them into corporations that are all black owned, where they can grow and they can take care of their families.
Does he have a chance to win?
They can sustain their job. Ray have done a lot of development behind the scenes for black children coming out of black historical black colleges and universities to make sure that they get a job. He's been working hard, but now he gets in that job as the mayor, he can do more to economically develop the communities in New York City. We need people like that. We need people who go.
No, I can't agree with that. I'm not knocking him at all. I like him better than I like Adams, because Adams ain't doing nothing. He's in Brooklyn.
When we were slaves, they gave us the crumbs off the table and told us that it was cuisine. They continue to give us the crumbs off the table and tell us that it's cuisine. If we don't wake up and understand, we need to cook our own damn cuisine, sit down and eat our own meal, and our own home that we own, and then our own venture that we have control of ourselves. We got the answer to our problem as a people generally. We have to take back control of our lives and stop letting these white people decide when and how and where we go. Get you some money. Black businesses need to become billionaires and set up structures and hire black people and train black people for
skills. That's what I was saying earlier.
All this job business, all this little job here and there. People don't need a job. People need a career. They need something going to take them from life from 18 to 30 to 40, where they can make some money and buy a house so they can own things for themselves. We have to take ourselves from a slave mentality and a slave conditioning up into a condition. See, everybody, one thing we don't understand, it's natural that if somebody is down, it's natural that somebody's going to be up and somebody's going to be down. But that down person, even God said that the last will become first and the first will become last. At some time, you've got to change your position. It's time for us as a people. 400 years is over. Now it's time for us to step up and stop asking these crackers for anything. Say, listen, this belongs to me. This is what happened in 1847 or 1666, and now this, because of those conditionings, this is what I need to change. This is what I'm going to get to change my life. Stop going to that damn June 19th congressional hearing begging them crackers for reparations. Tell them crackers, listen, you stole this. And I own this. This belongs to me, and this belongs to you. You got 25 people, the richest families in America, trace their money back to slavery. Well, damn it, every damn slave.
Man,
child,
I'm gonna go back to slave days. We need to
also.
We need to learn the word of God. Because a lot of that is stopped. DMX is gone. But saying all
God,
the demons that he had.
About
he had
God,
good demons,
God,
bad demons.
God,
a lot of this rap stuff also created a bad atmosphere for us. They're talking about shoot you here, shoot you there, shoot you everywhere. So these young people listen to that foolishness. And they go out there and do the same
benefit
thing.
From it. It's biblical.
So we need a complete change
of it. Work, a man don't eat. We did the work. They
the
didn't
word
do
of
the
God
work.
Ministered.
They're not supposed to eat.
Minister to the people right now. We need the word of God more than ever before.
That's
the only
God
thing.
Says,
God.
The word of
God
says.
Make a change.
That's the next hypocrisy. I shut up, pimping pastor.
That's not a hypocrisy. When you believe in God, he makes change.
That,
I see it right
that,
now. In the community.
That tells you that something could change without you doing anything except believing.
God
and
makes things
lie.
Change.
That's
but you got to run.
That's small change,
that's
brother.
The lie.
That's in the corner. That's a fantasy.
No. So
that's
you're
not
really believing God.
You're not going to change
God
something.
God is still in the truth.
That's
God is real.
That's
the only reason why
that's temporary.
The new president is because of God. So people are praying that this crazy man out of office. Praise
God. God don't work the way you say it.
We have a black
God don't work
vice
the way
president
you
that's a female.
That's not how God works.
History, brother.
God don't work. God don't say you bow down to any man. God don't
let's
say you bow down to man and be
let's
be
it's time for a change. What are we going to do to
stand
make
up.
That change? And
stand
how
up.
Are we going to do it? By worshiping
can
the
I,
God.
Can I
black
something?
Men. Black
God,
men got to
working our lives, working
men.
Our children. Like
black
I had to deal with my son not too long ago to make sure he was safe.
have to stand up and be men.
Look what happened to the guy that got shot. You know,
all the shot don't mean nothing. If you ain't
South Carolina,
stand up and be a man, you gonna get shot.
Change.
If you don't camp stand, well, nothing gonna change, brother, until you start to stand up.
Oh yes, brother, it's gonna change because when you believe in God and they get
you
the
can
people
believe in
together,
God, but if you don't change, if you don't
believe
God, what is that? If you can't do nothing, God, what? Believe in God for what?
You know what
if
I like more than anything is when I see.
Listen, you can believe in God all you want. Sit there and believe in God and don't do nothing. Think men are coming from heaven.
God Almighty.
God said, stand up and be a man.
What about what's going on with the Asians?
God said that. God said, man should be a man. A woman should be a woman. You got to stand up.
What about that, Robinson?
Where
did that come from?
Where
did that come from? Standing a Chinese woman punching up.
That have nothing to do with standing up and be a man. That's not to do with it.
I've seen the guy beat the heck out of this Chinese guy right on top of me.
That doesn't mean anything.
I would have beat his behind
step,
myself.
Well,
I'm a martial artist. That
doesn't mean
change,
anything. That doesn't mean anything.
Blacks are doing some dumb things to them.
Employ program under the Federation and keep the employment going. You're doing a wonderful job, my brother. You just got to bring it under the right umbrella so you can really be protected and get your full benefit.
Yes, yes.
You're doing things for the community.
Remember, Ethiopia Foundation, and Robinson know that too. So
right.
It's just that with what's going on right now, I've been observing, you know, is we have to really stand up like Ethiopia Foundation. You know, I could get a lot of people to join the Ethiopia Foundation because we need to make a change.
Protective Department, Protective Service, right.
Men got to stand up and be men. That's the first thing. First thing, you got to stand up. I got to stand up. Hey, all of us got
to
stand up and
but
be
I
men. That's
my son
first,
to stand up. He stand up for my daughter.
If you don't,
my granddaughter. 65, can I interject? You see this extension where they're telling you when you get to a certain age, you could delay your financial benefit, what you call your social security. Okay,
yeah.
You want to, you know what? I think that at that point in time, you're supposed to have some kind of community service as an elder in a community that you live, and part of that is mentoring the young ones because you've lived long enough to know. So you know what? That's supposed to be instead of jury service, you know what? Have youth service. That's something that our elders can contribute to. So that
at age 60,
you're supposed to have, just like you have a four-hour class to get your driver's license, when you reach 55, every year you're supposed to have X amount of hours of community service in the neighborhood in which you live in that you can show that you're having a positive impact. Because if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
You're part of the problem. Well said.
Great idea. Well said.
And hopefully the next person being mayor
will
be McGuire or Donovan.
Make
that change.
If a man stand up and make his determination, I'll just give an example. It might sound crazy to people. Jack Johnson determined to become the world champion. He followed that man to Germany, and he embarrassed him in front of millions of Germans. And the man decided to fight him when he got back to the United States. And Jack Johnson beat him, became the champion. He went for what he wanted. He didn't think about white man killing him. He didn't think about the KKK. He didn't think about nigger can't stand back. Jack Johnson wanted to be the champion of the world, and he went and stood up like a man, and he got it. If men stand up and be men and stop being chumps, trust me, people look at you in a different – this cracker look at us differently. They're scared of us any damn way, but they know that they got us in fear of killing them and all other kind of crap. But we stand up and resist and let them know that this shit is over, it's not going to happen again. Trust and believe. They'll stop that bull crap. Like Dr. Winborn say, when their asses start getting busted up by inside their head and their asses scared to go home, they'll stop this. They're like this because they don't fear us. They want us to fear them.
One got run over. So, you know, but that's not going to make a change. What we like she was saying, community service. AARP, you know, even after you done got your Social Security, you could still work. you know, and some money and so on. We just need to restructure. Listen, we need a system that's been restructured.
You let
it's going to take time to restructure it all together. So
when these people
also need for the youth to participate. We have insufficient community gardens that we don't have one clue how to grow our own food. Part of our curriculum, instead of they carrying these kids to look at all these foolish artifacts in a museum that they stole from Africa, carry them to the community gardens.
Not too long ago, we had a community garden up there.
First thing you got to stand up.
And the children were learning about the different vegetables and how to prepare them and grow them. We need to just expand that.
When the communists was running Germany, they had something called a resistance. They stood up if they had to die. The men stood up and fought. They called it the resistance in Europe. And that's how they defeated Hitler. If you stand up against this enemy and you let them know you ain't backing down, keep on with your, and I'm not saying you have to get guns and kill nobody, but I'm saying you stand up and let them know you know who they are, you expose them for what they are, and you tell them that it's over.
Reverend Robinson, right now, I think Biden's doing an excellent job, especially with the coronavirus situation, where a lot of people that
ain't
I know
enough,
died.
Listen, let me just say this.
A black man as the chief of the Defense Department, okay? I think he's doing an excellent job, okay? We got a black man now that's in charge of the Defense Department. Okay.
Doesn't mean nothing.
So
they just told
the
you
they
said
made, praise God. So we just
have
to
have
faith, believe, and make things happen, not just talk about them. Talk about it is one thing. Actions speak louder than words. And right now,
you're not going to resolve 400 years with the people that have been keeping you down. They're not going to do it. 400
Listen,
years.
Listen, but you're just thinking negative. We can't keep negative. Negativity is not causing nothing.
It's not about negativity. It is about facing the reality. When our young women and men, when
to protect
all their
children,
hope,
to teach them the right way of life,
hope of
and
getting
going out there
out of
shooting
the ghetto is to become a basketballer, a rapper, or a dancehall artist, or
Can I interject, please?
A baseball player. That's where our problem lies. These children have no hope.
That's not true. Because Cardinal Hayes and a lot of these young people are becoming great basketball players, great martial artists, and so on. What we have to
do
is expand it.
So many can be drafted. There's only but so many can be drafted. And
people,
if this is the
but
only
let me say this
thing
to you.
We
also have a mental challenge going on also.
People are not tired.
The parents not raising them properly. It stands from having a mental problem that wasn't taken care of, and
brother,
that is another thing too.
Very serious, the mental problem that we have in our communities.
Can may I say something, please? Listen, I understand one thing. The reasons why we got kicked out of Vietnam, you know, and the Japanese did so much damage, because they weren't afraid to lose anything. They weren't afraid to lose their lives or their jobs or anything else. When you're not afraid to die or lose something, you can't be beaten. You can't be beaten.
And well, you know, one thing I do like about what you were saying, one thing about the Vietnamese, okay, I know a lot of Vietnamese women that were with black men, you know what I'm saying, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, the main thing that I'm seeing is that we
this is what I'm saying. This is what it takes. It takes the tenacity. It takes the tenacity to have that grit in your heart and in your community that I'm not afraid to die for what I believe in. I'm not afraid to lose for what I believe in for my family and my community. We're being threatened all the time. Well, I'm going to lose my pension. I'm going to lose my job. We're working in a losing situation anyway. But what's even worse is that if you're in a losing situation and then you don't have a community backup, if there's nobody there. You know, one of the reasons why we drifted into this situation, I remember going to school and having having wood shop or having automobile shop and everything and all these things.
Me
and
too.
After school programs. And what happened, these things have been relegated and financed by not non-for-profits, but for these people that
they cut those programs out.
ACI and all these other people who underperform, but they still get government money. Okay, if you put all these things back into the school system from junior high school or elementary school nowadays, even up to high school, we'll have better product going to college. One other thing, if I may say, about cops.
Mm-hmm.
If a good cop isn't checking a bad cop, there ain't no good cops. All right?
Yeah.
So when people say, oh, they're good cops or bad cops, well, if there were good cops, there'd be more cops in jail or without their job. So I don't believe that shit.
Right. Let me tell you something.
The other thing is, everything that you all are saying is right. I have nothing to disagree with.
You came with me when we investigated
Let me say that
lady,
say,
right? Remember, had two black housing police officers, and you know what they did?
They went up
to investigate because the daughter was not paying the rent for
that's
the
not,
mother.
Guess what happened?
The two housing police called up the emergency services, and what they did, they brought in Sullivan, and he executed her.
Our problem is bigger than that. What I'm trying to say is this.
Bigger than that.
If you look at through the history of America, right, there are pockets of black men across this world. Across this country that got tired and took back what belongs to them individually. They couldn't wait for the group. They couldn't wait for the hoo-ha. They couldn't wait for the kumbaya, my lord. They couldn't wait to go march. They couldn't wait to go sing. If you read the history of our country, all right, there are men and women, black men and women, through the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, that took back their life individually. They didn't do it collectively. They did it for themselves. And I'm just telling to you, that tells me, when you're determined, Black Wall Street, Ohio, Oklahoma City, that was determined people that made up their mind, irregardless of the condition. Under the 1920-1930 depression, economic depression, they still flourished and became rich. So when you're determined to do something, don't matter what condition, and that's why I say Jack Johnson as an example. There was no the law; it was illegal for a black man to be the world champion of the world in boxing. It was illegal. Listen to what I'm saying. It was illegal. And he went to Germany and told this man, you're a punk if you don't fight me. And he embarrassed the man so much, the man said, I'll fight you when we get back to the States. It still was illegal for him to fight and become the champion, but he fought, became the champion, made $500,000, and lived his life. If you're determined, if you're not afraid and you're determined, I became determined. I'm a person in that same category. I became determined.
You're a millionaire.
I was going to sit there in dirt poor South Carolina and just sit there and do nothing.
Let me just say another thing.
I went and made the money and made
Fox
business.
Television,
you got to be determined.
Right? Uncle Tom's
grandfather only had a third grade education.
Channel,
and he was determined.
Some of them are millionaires that believe in Trumpism.
You got to be determined.
A lot of black people, they're the hypocrites, okay, and Uncle Tom's that's over here, you know, and that's what's making it worse. You got black people on national television talking about how great Trump is and how good he is, and we're making all this up. That's another problem right there, my brother.
I could care less. It's not going to stop me.
You can care less. You need to care.
These so-called blacks
are black Republicans, okay? And they're making a mess of the system for our children and for our people because they're up in Fox. And if you watch Fox all the time, they're always agreeing with the Trumpism. They're agreeing with the Republicanism. And a lot of these so-called black people are millionaires. Okay, so we need to make a change there, too. We need to hold down the buzz and say, what the hell are you doing? You're a black man.
What are y'all saying when y'all talking over each other like that? Both of y'all sound like y'all might have something important to say, but we can't hear either one of you.
We can't hear you.
Because he's not going to stop.
No, but you've been talking all the time, Robinson. Every time you talk about slavery.
To you.
What's the answer to this problem?
All right, one at a time, one at a time.
Answer is determination. If you're determined, okay, I don't care what I see people with no hands and no head, no hands, and they get jobs. I see people succeed under all kinds of conditions. If you're determined, I taught English in Bangladesh for 2 years, the most poorest country you can think of. People succeeded under worst conditions. I'm just saying, when a person got their mind made up and they're determined to change their life, I don't give a damn about nothing that goes on in America. They're not going to stop me from my success. And I'm not going to allow other black people who are ignorant and Uncle Tom's and Aunt Jane stop me. I'm not going to allow an ignorant black person who's a thief, a liar, a killer, a drug dealer, a gangbanger. He ain't going to stop me. I'm determined to do it. I ain't going to let my children stop me. And God knows if it wasn't my mama, I wouldn't let her stop me. You have to be
determined. All right, go ahead, Sergio.
Okay, listen, I agree with everything that Reverend Robinson is saying. How you doing, Dr. Wimbar? But right now, here in this black community where I'm at, we have individual, he was a basketball player, I got to go up there, and what we're doing, we're catering now to the black-owned business. He opened up a black store right now. It's called the Black Grocery Store. And a lot of blacks, okay, are coming together, and we're opening up business all over the place. So what we need to do right now is to think positive, do the positive thing, you know, and if we do the positive thing and make sure we get the right leaders in the community, because you don't need nobody like, well, I don't want to rank up De Blasio and all that, but what I need, we need the right people in place so that we could restructure our system, get back what the individual was talking about when we had wood shops and we had all these different things that were cut. See, all these things were cut out of the educational program. So we need to get that all back there again. So once we restructure the system, have the, and hope to God we get the right mayor, okay, that's going to be able to handle and deal with these situations and reform the police department so that our children are not becoming victims.
The other thing that I think we should need is that we need to bring back the community planning board with teeth.
Yes.
All right, because at one point with the community planning board, nobody can just come in your community and do just what they wanted.
Exactly.
And I think it's 40, 50 years now that the community planning board is a little less than an advisory committee.
Yes.
All right, that nobody pays attention for because it's in our community. And,
yes.
And so on. So we need to bring that back with teeth,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if we don't want somebody in our community because of whatever, you know, we have an opportunity and a right to keep them out.
Yes. And you ever watch 30 Frames? It's a black film that comes on the Bronx Net as well as Cool Clyde. And when they get on the television, we're talking about all those different things happening. So we just have to come together as a people and make a profound change. We have a new
and not all of us will have the same idea, but if we're going to the same location,
yes,
you know,
yes.
You know, that's great. I have nothing against black Republicans except that other that they're conscious or not conscious.
But look what they did in Georgia. Did you see what the governor did in Georgia?
Yeah,
where
I
you can't give nobody no water, no food.
And
listen, if that
on C-SPAN Tuesday, all right,
mm-hmm.
they had this brother, NFL football star who was in Congress or Senate or what have you. I'm listening to his story from slavery to him now, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I'm listening to a white guy.
You heard what Boehner said.
Boehner,
the Republican Party he's seen. I mean, Boehner was bad, but what we have now in the Republican Party is worse. Because anytime you're going to cut people's, you can't. What they did in Georgia, is that not outrageous?
Yeah.
And they're doing it in Texas and all those redneck states. So.
Yeah.
It's a very dangerous situation. That's why I said we need to put the right people in place, and thank God that you got Biden. He's put a Hispanic ranks and positions, but we got a black vice president.
I think we're going to get a lot from Biden, but even that is going to be limited. We need more.
Yes.
You know, and we need to push. We need to push for more. And it may not happen under him. You know, I would like to see him go for.
It's
going to
happen under him. I really feel it's going to happen because I pray to God because it's Donald Trump.
McCain Donald died. Trump, as far as I'm concerned, out of the picture, you know, because I know who he is. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I know what he's trying to do. If we're moving on with Biden, you know, fine. I know who he is too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know his history as well. All right. Okay, people change. I see an honorable and honest man, but he's another part of this white society. You know, back in the 60s, you know, or the 70s, and so on. And we're pushing him to do a lot of things, and he's complying because
okay, gentlemen, we have,
you know, but
to say thank you so much for
your
time spent. We are winding down for the Sunday evening.
All right, darling.
This is Sadie Gomez,
Federation.
Thanking you all so much for your passion and your conversation. As we share another warm Sunday evening, join me again next Sunday for a wonderful Sunday evening of talk. Thank you again so very much, and have
a
wonderful night.
Thank you so much for your show.
You're most kindly welcome.
America was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States. It's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call.
Was the ultimate villain, so you want to have the ultimate.
Hey, Sergeant Floyd.
The ultimate.